is Free Talk Live, and you can dial toll-free to join us here on the radio if you want. The number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord call-in line rooms, although I don't know how well they're working. There have been some audio card issues here with a computer in the studio recently. You can try them over at discord.lrn.fm with
they
you tonight.
It's Mark with you.
I'm Ian.
Yep. They worked fine for me when I was running the show. Never had a
great
problem, but, you know.
Glad to hear that. It didn't work at all last night when we did the after show.
Right. They can go out three times in a night or be just fine.
Yeah. So you can try that. I just haven't had a chance to get any new equipment in here and do the appropriate testing necessary to iron out whatever those bugs are.
Yeah. Your return trip from Tokyo. Have you caught up from the jet lag?
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I slept
15 hours the first day, so I guess that's jet lag.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. When people talk about jet lag, I never really understood it. So
it's nice to be young.
I guess. I don't know. Are you saying jet lag doesn't affect people who are younger?
Yep. The younger you are, the less it's going to affect you.
Huh. Okay. Well, anyway, so you can bring up anything that you want. News out of the Daily Mail in the UK. Mark, you wanted to talk about this one. Where a pedestrian has been fined £90. I don't know offhand how much in dollars £90 is.
It's at least $100.
But for disorderly behavior after he tried to cover his face when he saw a controversial facial recognition camera on a street in London. Officers set up the camera on a van in Romford, East London, which then cross-checks photos of faces of passers-by against a database of wanted criminals. But one man was unimpressed about being filmed and covered his face with his hat and jacket before being stopped by officers who took his picture anyway. After being pulled aside, the man told police, "If I want to cover me face, I'll cover me face. Don't push me over when I'm walking down the street."
This is as bad as Dick Van Dyke. Go ahead.
It comes just weeks after it was claimed the new technology incorrectly identified members of the public in 96% of matches made between 2016 and 2018.
Did you say misidentified?
That's what it says.
Misidentified in 96% of matches.
Yeah, now I don't know who made that claim, but that's an interesting thing to say. Cameras have been rolled out in a trial in parts of Britain, with the Met making its first arrest last December when shoppers in London's West End were scanned. But their use has sparked a privacy debate with civil liberties groups. Big Brother Watch branding the move a, quote, breach of fundamental rights to privacy and freedom of assembly, unquote. Police argue
they're
necessary.
Yeah, well, they're necessary, right? But, I mean, at this early stage, is it worth being stopped, 19 out of 20? It's a little more than that. Call it 24 out of 25, I think is what it is. So 24 out of 25 people who were stopped, presumably, in this this rollout, were found to not be the people that they were looking for.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
And they did make one arrest. So is it worth that, ladies and gentlemen? Is it?
Well, the crime and punishment people would say yes. Anything is worth one arrest.
Right. And in many cases, these arrests are sort of a warrant for not paying some traffic ticket or whatever.
Could
Who
be.
Knows? Yeah. You never know what it is. I mean, rarely are we talking about the guy that's kidnapped a busload of kids and has been holding them up in his basement or whatever the horrifying thing you might be thinking of. In most cases, at least in the United States, these when officers pull people over and then they run them for warrants, which is, I mean, this
common.
Is, what's that?
That's
yeah,
common.
And then they, you know, drag somebody off. And that's common, too. In many cases, you're just talking about something they didn't know that they even had. And if they did know it, it was minor. It's some old thing that happened that's irrelevant to their lives today. Victimless crime. You know, when you start wrapping these things up, it gets bigger and bigger. The other thing about this is that they're going to get better at this.
Sure. The right? Technology will get better.
Facial recognition software will get better. It'll get better than 96% miss.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point or another, they're going to be, you know, 96% right.
They have facial recognition at the Bitcoin.com head offices. They've got a camera like a little device that's on one of their doors. You got to show your face to get in the door. It'll unlock if you're the right person.
If you're the right person. But it just shows that, yeah, it'll work. Now, also, you got to couple that. Here in the United States, I don't know what it's like in Great Britain, but I know what's going on in the U.S. We have license plate readers. Now, in this country,
right,
you have people that drive significantly more. I'm sure that's true in rural England, but not so much in London. So you can kind of track. If there's one particular car that drives around the southwestern New Hampshire area, that if you track it, you're going to know where I am most of the time. And that's true for most people in the United States. So if you can couple license plate readers with facial recognition software, then the government that's just decided one way or another, whether it's in New York State or Georgia, to either allow babies to be killed just before they're born or to call a zygote an embryo, whatever it is, you disagree with it. This same organizational model, the government, is going to be watching your moving, you know, where you're going and what you're doing. And is that acceptable? Because I know it's acceptable to some of y'all out there. Some of you are saying, well, if you're not doing anything wrong,
what have you got to hide?
I would say this is, I don't have to stop your stinking cops, 96% that are 96% wrong.
Well, if you don't stop, they'll run you off the road.
They'll kill you. I mean, ultimately, a traffic stop. If this guy would have run from these cops, they would have grabbed him and they would have, if he would have tried to fought him off, they would have beat him with a stick. Yeah. And if he would have ultimately, if he would have had a gun, which I believe is his right to protect his body from lunatics, you know, if he would have tried to fight them off with a handgun, they would have come out with weapons at some point or another.
Right.
Every traffic stop is a death sentence.
Well, I mean, how insane is it?
If you resist enough.
You use the term lunatics. I mean, how insane is it to go and tackle a man because he didn't want to show his face to your camera?
Well, it's not insane. It's statist, right?
Well, that's insanity. I mean, to hurt people over these stupid rules. But they insist, Mark, that it is necessary to crack down on spiraling crime. I mean, look, the police obviously need help here. They can't do the job, apparently. They need robots.
They have made so many things illegal. The crime is out of control. Yes, I'm not surprised that violent crime is out of control in London because people cannot protect themselves. It is
meaning you can't have a gun, you can't have a knife.
You can't have anything. And pretty soon it's just going to be, you know, the biggest person can survive. And you know, maybe the solution is you disarm everybody completely and have facial recognition cameras everywhere and we're all like a giant ant farm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we're just pets of the state. I don't think of myself that way, but...
Do you?
Yeah, babe, yeah.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Mark, if it just saves one life...
Well, you can show the life it saves. Like, they could show... They just reported on the one arrest. They didn't report on all the people that they bothered.
Mm-hmm.
That were false positives on this.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of people. They said 96% of them or whatever were mismatches between 2016 and 2018. So that's a lot of people they bothered. But if they save just one life, isn't it worth it?
The Declaration of Independence really says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And sometimes
they don't have that.
Fine. I don't really care what they do in London, except that what they're doing is telegraphing this is coming to the United States next.
Well, as you already pointed out, you mentioned and I'm glad you brought them up because I was definitely going to, the license plate scanners. In many states, the police are operating those things at all times.
Yes.
So whenever they're driving around, they are scanning license plates to see who's around them.
I see cops on the side of the road now. I know their radar isn't on because I have a V1 radar, Fuzzbuster. I know their radar's not on. What are they doing sitting over there?
Could
Maybe they're
napping.
Having a snack.
It could be napping.
Maybe they're looking at their cell phone. Maybe they're just scanning license plates.
Yeah, and there's also other places where they want to put these scanners up on fixed locations, and they may have done this in some states. I don't know. But fixed location scanners that are just constantly going, you know, on the side of the interstate. 855-450, free like freedom. If you want to join us here, it's free time. It's It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about the ridiculousness out of the UK, specifically, in this case, they're fining a man £90 for trying to hide his face from facial recognition cameras that are, I guess, in a trial run. And during that trial run, they have had an abject failure rate of 96%, apparently, according to somebody. The Daily Mail writing the story here.
This is almost, I mean, that's a little better than the TSA tends to average on there when they test themselves with the red team.
No, that's about where the TSA tends to be.
You know, between
like 80 to 90 to 95.
75 and 100%.
Yeah. By the way, I do want you to know about Edge Wallet. It is the cryptocurrency wallet of my preference. That's the one that I use more than any other. I actually just used it yesterday.
Me too.
To pay for my car repair here in town. Had an oil change done and an inspection, and I paid for that with Bitcoin Cash through Edge Wallet. And then I went down and grabbed some lunch, paid for that with Edge Wallet, which is pretty sweet.
You can do that here in Keene, New Hampshire.
You can do that. That's right. Edge is a great wallet, and you can buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies. And that includes Bitcoin, BTC, Ethereum, Ethereum tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, Bitcoin Cash, Dash, and others. You can go to edge.app to download it, or your favorite Google or Apple app store. They have it there, of course. Edge Wallet. There's iOS, Android versions. It's user-controlled. You own your money. It's not somebody else who's in charge of it. So secure your freedom with edge.app. As we continue here, we'll take your calls and thoughts about what you want. We are discussing this story out of the Daily Mail where a man fined £90 for trying to avoid being seen by facial recognition cameras. Apparently, somebody was watching, and because you know, this has to be, if they put these things in everywhere, there's not some overseer who's sitting there watching all 20,000 of them at once. So they must have somebody monitoring the test units pretty closely.
Right. In this case, it's on a van.
Mm-hmm.
And so they
could be somebody in the van.
They have more than a million cameras in London that are watching all the time, but those cameras aren't rigged with the facial recognition software.
Not yet.
Today.
Right.
Those cameras just basically are there to sort of record in case they can come up with, for whatever reason, some kind of crime. They can roll things back and say, oh, that bloke there did it.
Indeed. Police, according to the story here, was the South Wales police, was first deployed by the South Wales police back in 2007. Yeah. Let's see what else here. Oh, yeah. So the police say they're necessary to crack down on spiraling crime, which we've got an example of what the police are doing to crack down on that crime here in a little bit.
Spiraling usually indicates something that's going down.
Downwards.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Officers previously insisted people could decline to be scanned before later clarifying that anyone trying to avoid the scanners may be stopped and searched. It was first deployed.
Now they're finding them.
It was first, and I imagine searching them as well. It was first deployed by South Wales Police ahead of the Champions League final in 2007, but wrongly matched more than 2,000 people at the time to possible criminals. Police, and you'd think it had gotten better in a decade, but maybe not so much.
Right, they did. They did this in Ybor City in Tampa.
I remember that. It was long time ago.
I mean, probably 15 years ago.
And they pulled it because it was a failure.
Right, because it was freaking out. But at some point, this is going to get pretty good at identifying. They use it on Facebook all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tag yourself? It knows it's you.
It's pretty good at it, too. It knows your friends, too.
Yes. And if your friends put up a picture of somebody who looks like you, then it wants to tag you in it. It's like, well, this isn't me.
Police and security services worldwide are keen to use facial recognition technology to bolster their efforts to fight crime and identify suspects, but they've been hampered by the unreliability of the software, with some trials failing to correctly identify a single person. The technology made incorrect matches in every case during two deployments at Westfield Shopping Center in Stratford last year, according to Big Brother Watch. It was also reportedly 96% saying here accurate, but earlier it said it was inaccurate at 96%, so I'm not sure what they're saying. In Romford, the man was fined £90 at the scene by the officers, who also arrested three other people during the day thanks to the technology. See, Mark? They're making arrests off of this. I mean, this is worth it, isn't it? If it just, sure, it's going to inconvenience some people, but isn't it worth it to stop the criminals?
That's the question that the people need to ask themselves. I kind of feel like you deserve the government that you want in a some given geographic area. If it's you know, if that's the thing you want, if you want to be harassed as you go down the street so that people can pick up petty criminals, in many cases, criminal isn't even the right term, violators, because they have, you know, because there's so many laws you couldn't read them in four lifetimes.
Well, right. And they aren't saying what these people are being arrested for. They're not saying they caught three murderers. They're not saying they caught three wanted armed robbers.
In London, having a sharp piece of metal is illegal.
Right.
I mean, they're literally having drop-off places for you to put knives. Now, I don't know. I remember I've worked in restaurants, and chefs would carry their knives in a little sheath on a belt.
Right.
Now, if you leave it at the restaurant, then I suppose it's up for stealing by, you know, the busboy or whomever. So some of them would probably want to carry it around with them or put it in their car or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it legal to carry a knife in your car in London? I
bet you it's not.
Yep. I suspect you don't even have – it's like New York City where people don't even have cars. How do you transport your knife from your home to your job?
Good question. Call the police.
I mean, do chefs now use plastic knives in London? I doubt it.
Are plastic knives legal? Does it have to be a metal blade?
Do you have to have a note from your employer that says this man is a chef?
Or is it anything with a pointy tip on it? Because you can kind of have a, you know, plasty knife. Those exist.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, back in the day, they had – I mean, a stiletto is a pointy knife with two blades on it, but the like a dirk is just a pointy piece of metal, like an ice pick. So, you know, you could do the job with that pretty easily. I think if you're wandering around with an ice pick, it's unlikely that you're out to pick ice, though.
So the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. They then get into the back and forth between the officers, and I don't know if this is because the officers were recording video or if the man was or how this was, you know, I'm not sure who recorded this, but they claim that after being stopped, the man asked the officer, one of them, "How would you like it if you walked down the street and someone grabbed you by the shoulder? You wouldn't like it, would you?" Officer told him, "Calm yourself down or you're going in handcuffs."
"I'm not answering that question."
"It's up to you. Wind your neck in." But the man replied, "You wind your neck in." Now, what does that mean? Is that slang? It sounds like British slang, doesn't it?
It sounds like he was sticking his neck out and therefore it needs to be wound back in.
I don't think so. I bet you it means something else. It sounds like slang. After being fined, the man told the reporter, "The chap told me down the road, he said they've got facial recognition, so I walked past like that," and then covers his face to show how he did it. "It's a cold day as well. As soon as I've done that, the police officers asked me to come to him, so I've got me backup. I said to him, F off, basically. I said, I don't want me face shown on anything. If I want to cover me face, I'll cover me face. It's not for them to tell me not to cover me face. And can you cover your face if it's cold outside? I mean, can you put a balaclava on in London, or is that illegal any time of the year now?"
London isn't as cold as New Hampshire, but I can tell you there are times of the year here in New Hampshire where people will absolutely be wearing garb that covers their face almost entirely.
Coming up, we'll tell you about a bust of so-called dangerous weapons in the UK, which included a spoon on the way here.
It was really silver, though.
It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has found that though U.S. financial institutions are prohibited from doing business with foreign gambling websites, it's not illegal for U.S.-based internet users to gamble on those sites. People have been using VPNs or virtual private networks to connect to sites like games.bitcoin.com and play games with Bitcoin Cash. Games.bitcoin.com features poker, blackjack, roulette, craps, keno, slots, and dice. You can conduct your own investigation at games.bitcoin.com. Talk Live. Dial toll free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up anything that's on your mind here on this live Saturday edition of the show with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
And also want to make sure that you know about Bitcoin.com. I just got back from the Bitcoin.com head offices in Tokyo. And it was a great experience because, you know, I knew that Roger Ver was into Bitcoin. Bitcoin Cash specifically is, of course, what he's thrown a lot of his weight behind. But I didn't really realize how much weight that he'd thrown behind it. There's a lot of people working for Bitcoin.com. They don't all live in Tokyo, but he's got like 90 employees there. They're doing a lot of stuff. They have a bunch of irons in the fire, some of which I can talk about. Some of which I can't, but I can definitely talk about their new website, local.bitcoin.com. This is a way for you to, as of June 4th, when it officially launches, to buy and sell Bitcoin Cash, either with somebody in your town or some way halfway across the world. So there's different ways that you'll be able to do it, whether it's meeting somebody at a, you know, McDonald's and trading cash for Bitcoin Cash, or it's, you know, bank deposit from halfway across the country. There's going to be different ways that people will be able to accept payment, and they're going to do it where that you don't actually have to identify yourself to the website, meaning that there's no what they call in the money world, know your customer requirements, where you have to identify and show all kinds of, you know, identifying information to a website that needs to know who you are because the government says they need to know. In this case, Bitcoin, local.bitcoin.com is not going to have those things. They're going to have apparently encrypted chats between buyer and seller there. So the website itself doesn't even know what you're doing, which is pretty interesting. That's at least my understanding of it. And there's more to it, but I didn't make, you know, exhaustive notes on it. The site's up right now. You can go to local.bitcoin.com. You can kind of take a look at it. It's in teaser mode, if you will. You can sign up. You can create an account. You can place an advertisement on the site to, say, sell some Bitcoin Cash, but it won't actually be active until June 4th. So they're getting ready to roll this thing out, and it sounds like it could be a really big deal. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big fan of sites like this, and I'm looking forward to trying out local.bitcoin.com.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a great idea.
So not such a great idea is identifying people on the site with these facial on various different places, specifically in London, with facial recognition cameras. A man fined 90 pounds after attempting to shield his face from one of these test cameras that they have. Apparently, it's on a van, so I suspect that means that there's an officer sitting in the van, probably monitoring the output in case it matches somebody who's an alleged wanted criminal. And reports
by the sounds of it, they're missing far more often than they're hitting on this, which means that they're sending out officers to know that whether you were right or wrong, whether you had a miss or not, as far as this facial recognition software goes, you have to have come in contact with the person, right? So
yeah,
the bad guy, somebody, it recognizes somebody. That somebody likely has a record and warrants. Otherwise, why is it recognizing them, right?
Well, because it's making a mistake.
No, that's a misrecognition. That's not a recognition. So it blinks up. Blink, you got
somebody.
You're
saying when it gets it right.
No, when it has a hit.
Okay.
All right.
It believes it knows who you are.
It knows who somebody is. Likely, it believes that because that person has warrants, right?
The person it thinks you are has warrants.
Correct.
Right.
So then they have to send out a cop or two or three. I mean, they're unarmed there in London, so maybe they're sending out two cops. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then
he's surrounded. They actually have a picture of the whatever the arrest or ticketing incident was, and it appears that he's surrounded by at least four cops.
All right, so they got four cops out to identify, whomever it is that this machine hits on, and they find out that this person is not the person hit on, meaning this person is not somebody with warrants, or it's somebody different with warrants is another possibility.
Could
here.
Be. Yep.
And they, so this is the only way that they can find out. So this means that they've harassed a great deal of people in order to come up with these numbers.
Correct. In this case, the officers surrounded the man and handed out a 90-pound fine to him. And according to...
Now, this wasn't a guy that was pinged on their software. This is just a guy that held up his hand and coat in front of his face.
Otherwise, they would have handed him more fines or put him in handcuffs. If they'd actually, matched him with somebody.
Right. But the software doesn't say that. This is just, at this point, just a citizen who did not want to have his face scanned by a camera. Of course, he's in London, which means that he gets his face scanned by a camera all the time. But it's a different camera, not this camera.
So let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. You can bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live. Let's talk to, we've got Jack on the line in in Louisiana. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking my call up. A war will got his redemption today. The horse, there was no horse in front of him that had a muddy track or tire tracks on the racetrack.
He got his talking about horse racing?
Yes.
What about it?
Okay.
The one that got interfered with in the Derby, got his redemption today. No horse was in front of him.
In what race?
Some of the Kentucky Derby?
That was today?
Yeah. No, it was the Preakness Day.
The Preakness was today?
Yeah.
And he said the previous day.
Preakness is also a race.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. What? Right. So who are the big ones that are running in this? I know nothing.
Well, they had a bunch of them that weren't running, but War of Will, the one that got interfered with.
Water Wheel? War of the Wheel?
No, War of Will.
War of Will.
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 Will. Right.
Uh-huh.
He got his redemption today. One, nobody was in front of him.
Well, good for him. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. I hope a bunch of people won some money, but probably a bunch of people lost.
You tell people they can call in about anything they
can. He did. Let's go on to Larry in Indianapolis, listening to WIBC. Hello, Larry. Good for everybody who won their sports game today. Yay! Go team!
Let's go to the Cal's Gym and watch the Gladiators tonight.
Sounds more entertaining than horse racing.
Down the Temple of Diana and wash our sins away.
Can I throw Ian in there?
Case, how's that now?
Can I throw Ian in the Gladiator pit?
Well, we don't want him in there, but if he'll go and offer some sacrifice to Diana down at the Palladium, then he'll be okay, I think.
All right.
But anyway, what I was calling about, Mark and Ian.
Yes, sir.
Now, I hear you talk about immigration all the time, right?
As not
if
all
we
the time.
We should have open borders.
We could talk about it all the time because it's, you know,
it
hot
comes
topic.
Up periodically. But what it I'm does. Talking about is now I just heard on the news that they are taking 1,000 immigrants to each state, Broward County and counties throughout the United States, giving them a $5,000 stipend for housing, plus all the safety net issues they get. They get free food stamps. They get housing. They get TANF money if they got a family. Now, do you approve of somebody claiming refugee status, being held in confinement for 3 days, then flying to whatever city he wants to go to at our expense, and then give $5,000? And then,
no, I don't approve of government welfare at all, Larry. I don't approve of forced.
Neither do I, but that's what these people are getting. And how do they ever merit it? I don't know. But you talk about immigration, there ought to be some kind of restrictions put on it.
Well, the problem isn't the problem is a welfare problem, Larry. I mean, you know, we can't afford to just pay for the world to come here and then get a $5,000 stipend every month or whatever it is. That's outrageous.
Well, that's what we're doing, and Nancy Pelosi and her gang are defending this. Democrats across the board are defending this policy. When I see every morning when I go,
it's because they're spending your money on new voters.
Yeah, to get coffee, and I see our own kids coming in with dirty clothes on, eating Little Debbie's and Mountain Dew for breakfast, and it could be spent better on our own people, unless we are infidels like the Arabs call us.
Well, let's talk about it further, because it's an interesting question, and no, I don't support welfare. I don't support government forced redistribution. I do support refugees being able to come to the United States, and I support people who want to support them being free to support them in whatever way they feel like it, whether it's providing housing or food on a voluntary, consensual basis. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And by the way, I want to say thanks to Robert W319. Robert W319 is a Free Talk Live amplifier That is what he wanted to be referred to as on the air, because we do say thank you to our Free Talk Live amplifiers. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It is a way for you to back up what we do here on Free Talk Live to help us get on more radio stations around the United States, which we recently just crossed the 200-station threshold.
Yay!
I think about a week ago. So hooray for us, and thank you to everybody who has made that possible. That includes all of the amplifiers, both past and present. There's about 200 of them right now, and in the past we've had as many as, like, over time there have been like 1700 people who used to amp the show, you know, and they've left for whatever reason over all the many years that we've been doing this thing. We've been on the air now since 2002, and I think we started the AMP program in 2005, so
yep.
AMP's been around for about 15 years. So thank you to everybody who supports what we do, and you can do that as well for $5 a month with credit card, PayPal, and also Bitcoin BTC over at amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get some perks, some benefits, some, you know, things that we show our appreciation to you to give you some special access to over at amp.freetalklive.com. If you do that, we certainly appreciate it. It's Ian and Mark here in the studio tonight. We had a gentleman on the line. He dropped off, Larry in Indianapolis. He had brought up the claim that people who are refugee status, I guess, claiming refugee status, are getting thousands of dollars from the federal government, some sort of a stipend. They're getting some kind of a home allowance. They're getting a plane ticket.
Yeah,
to
as
wherever
I understand,
they want
to go. Yes, refugees are sort of quote unquote entitled to a certain amount of money or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And he asked us how we feel about that. And I think we were both pretty clear. But in case you're just tuning in, I think we're both against it because we are both against government forced wealth redistribution. So
right.
I would be against the government cutting anybody a $5,000 welfare check, whether it be somebody claiming to be a refugee or somebody who is, you know, born here in the United States.
That's the job of a church. End of story.
It should be.
And churches
or some other, you know, organization
have mandates to take care of, you know, refugees and that sort of thing.
So, I don't care if it's the Lions Club or whoever, as long as it's voluntary.
Right. And what I say is that free people can cross the borders of free countries freely, or you don't have free people and you don't have free countries.
Mm-hmm.
Stop pretending.
We don't have free people and we don't have free countries. But I agree with you. Do people really say that it's a free country anymore?
I don't think they say that.
Not very often.
No, I don't hear it. Anyway, so no, I don't think there should be any mandate to pay for anything. But yes, I think that people should be able to escape whatever terrifying thing might be happening in there, what passes for a country where they're from.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you set this country up correctly, then it's replicatable. But right now it's not, because socialism isn't replicatable.
No, it's a disaster everywhere it's tried.
And or leftism or whatever term you want to use. I don't even know how to describe the statist social welfare programs that we have. They're not socialism in so much as the state doesn't claim the ownership of the means of production.
But yeah, sure.
We use that term as a sort of catch-all. So
they're run by Republicans and Democrats, the same programs.
Prior to social welfare programs existing, you saw wars of conquest. Nations wanted more people and more land because those were good things for that nation. Now, you don't see that at all because nations don't want responsibility. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, would you want Chihuahua or some Baja California or some, you know, directly adjacent piece of Mexico to suddenly be annexed to the United States? There's a resounding no across America because they know that they'd be paying additional taxes for mm-hmm. what would largely be impoverished people or poor people compared to the United States suddenly being brought into the United States. Well, nobody has a responsibility to pay for anybody else's well-being. That's what productivity and hard work are for. And many times, I mean, this nation is built by hardworking immigrants who came here. If you want hardworking immigrants, set up a system where you can work hard and do well. If you want a system where you have a bunch of people who want to suck off the teat of a social welfare system, set up that kind of system. But if you don't want that, don't complain that you've got it and that people want to benefit from it.
If you want to jump in, you're welcome to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. We have Dave in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Dave, what's on your mind tonight?
YouTube sucks.
Okay.
Okay. What's happened? What are they doing now?
You know how, like, say, you create, like, a channel and you have, like, maybe so many subscribers and you, like, you know, people have subscribed to you and you subscribe to a whole bunch of other people and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, and you created all a bunch of content and stuff. You know, you created this brand channel and you, and the thousands of hours and the thousands of, like, billions of videos you have and so on and so forth, that the content that you created for your fans and the fans, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, let's just say one day you wake up on a Monday or Tuesday and you find out your channel is taken away from you. Like, it's just gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the problem with creating on these channels. I mean, this is true for Facebook. At any point, they can just get rid of your Facebook channel. At any point on Twitter, your account's gone. YouTube, it's the same thing. It's really
these are the centralized platforms. We've heard about many people being what they call deplatformed, which is what you described, where your channel's just gone. And maybe they gave you a notice, maybe they didn't, maybe they told you why, maybe they didn't. They're not under any obligation to do any of those things to tell you why. So did this happen to you, Dave?
I even made a 30-minute video and I posted it on my Hudson Valley Guy and the number one channel. It's almost a 30-minute video explaining why YouTube sucks. You can watch it whenever you want.
But now wait a minute. Now just for our listeners that aren't clear, Dave is a longtime caller to Free Talk Live. He calls on occasion, and he's always mad about something. That's just kind of what he does. He gets mad about things, but and likes to repeat himself.
But I'm not clear though here, Dave. Can I go watch this video, or has your channel been pulled?
Yeah, you can watch it. It's on my Hudson Valley Guy and the number one.
Right, I got you.
It's called Yes, My Friends, This Is Why YouTube Sucks.
Now, I understood that you had a different channel, actually. Now, the last time you called into the show, you had promoted one called My Own Damn Channel.
I still have that.
So did they take that one down, too? Because I'm looking at it right now. It looks like all your videos are there. Although when you're on the homepage for the channel, it says this channel doesn't have any content, so that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I don't know how to put any stuff there, but anyway.
So they didn't take down all of your channels, they only took down one of them?
They didn't take down any of his channels.
No, they took down, let's see, let me go to my account.
Did they give you a notice? Did they send you an email saying, Dave, we're taking down your content, it's because you violated copyright terms? Did they give you any kind of idea as to, you know, what precipitated this action?
Something like it, because I had said something along the lines of, I grew up around white people, you know?
You said that in one of your videos?
Yeah, it was one of the titles or whatever, something. I had a few other channels, you know, because I was being quote-unquote racist in my videos, you know?
I wouldn't doubt that for a second. Like, so, now, when... In this circumstance, what do? They just say, sorry, you've been pulled down for content, or they say specifically racist, or what do they say?
First, they give you like a warning, and then the second time you do it, you can't upload for whatever days, and the second time you do it, your channel is pulled or something or whatever.
So
you know?
Did you get a warning in advance?
They give you like a warning in advance, and then, you know, they say, oh, well, if you do it again...
Are you a racist?
I don't like black people.
Racist. Okay, now that's something new. I don't think we knew that about you, Dave, previously, because, you know, like I said, he always just calls in about being angry about something, so we never really find out too much about what he really believes. So you
How
are
do
racist.
How people feel about you?
Well, apparently you haven't listened to Chris Cantwell's shows in a while.
Why would I want to?
Because I call into his shows quite often on Mondays and Fridays.
I'm sorry, I'm not a big follower of yours, Dave.
Oh, but you could subscribe to his YouTube channel. He's up to 474 subscribers, Mark.
Because he calls in here, and people want to go watch a lunatic ramble.
Plus, he was featured by this hot atheist chick on a recent video because he was mad. One of his more recent calls was he was mad at this atheist YouTube vlogger named Jacqueline somebody.
For not sending him topless pictures.
Jacqueline Glenn.
Jacqueline Glenn, for not being topless on the internet. He couldn't find any nude photos of her, and so he was very mad at her for being a woman on the internet without nude photos. Thanks for the call, Dave. Sorry to hear you're a racist. That's really disappointing. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But then again, he's not the brightest bulb in the basket, so I guess that pretty much explains it. 855-450-FREE. You can join us here. Hour number two is next. Take control of the airwaves. Coming up, a big knife bust in London.
Are you concerned that liberty, free market economics, and the values that made America great are no longer taught in schools? Well, so am I. So I got my son the Tuttle Twins children's book series.
My name is Jack, and I'm 11 years old, and I just started the Tuttle Twins. So far, I have learned that some people can use the government to ruin the economy and destroy people's businesses.
Give all the young people in your life a chance at reason and clear thought, because they're not going to get it at school. There are 9 books in the series, and each one teaches a set of ideas that children aren't getting elsewhere. Go to TuttleTwins.com and use coupon code FTL to get 40% off. Again, that's TuttleTwins.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and we're launching into the second hour of this live Saturday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free and bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733 with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
As we continue, we will take your calls and thoughts about what you want coming up. We've been focusing on the police state in the UK, where they have these facial recognition cameras in the streets. They're on a test basis. So far, the testing has not been particularly effective. But
coming to a metropolitan area near you.
Well, and that's part of the reason why we talk about these things. Even though we don't live there, there's a very good chance that the technology in question could very well expand right to where you live.
China's social credit policy will become a thing in the United States if it works out well in China.
There are certainly politicians of all stripes that are watching these programs, and they want to bring them to wherever it is that they supposedly represent. So if you know, don't feel for a moment like, well, it's only happening there. It's never going to happen here. Well, there's a good chance it will happen here. And as you pointed out, Mark, like a decade ago, Ybor City, which is in the Tampa Bay area of Florida, they did install facial recognition cameras in the streets there. It was a miserable test that didn't work at all, but that doesn't mean they won't try it again.
When I was in Europe and the Middle East in the 90s, I noticed that they had police officers standing around with, you know, I don't know if they were machine guns, but they looked like, you know, sort of, they were black, scary guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, at least we don't have that in the United States. Our cops carry handguns.
Yeah. Then 2001 happened.
2001 happened, and then New York City, they're standing around looking like stormtroopers.
Exactly. So, you know, these things can happen here, and there's a good chance that they will, and they need to be pushed back against as much as possible. We can take your calls and thoughts about what you want, but then I have a follow-up story about a London police department that has busted a dangerous cache of weapons, including what appeared to be kitchen utensils.
Lots of
them. And a spoon.
Yeah, spoon.
So we'll tell you about that on the way here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. You can bring up anything that you want. Let's go to the phones and to the fun. We've got Nikki on the line in Pennsylvania. Nikki, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, listen, I have a quick question. So
sure.
I am an immigrant to the United States.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So as an immigrant, I am subject to a numerous amount of investigations. I have to get FBI checked every few years, fingerprinted, photographed, everything
wow.
like that. So let me ask you a question. So you feel that American citizens should not be subject to such things because they're American citizens?
No, I don't think anybody should be subject to being harassed by the government. Goons.
Okay, I don't think I'm being harassed. I think it's a matter of the government is trying to make sure I'm not a criminal, which obviously I'm not, because obviously I have to go through those things. But why do you think that that's okay, that, you know, the government should not make those balance checks and balances to those of us, even immigrants, but even American citizens, that may be a threat to to the United States or to its people.
Because I'd rather take my chances and be left alone and have no government goons in my life.
The government, by its definition, is unaccountable. It makes irresponsible decisions historically, and I would prefer it to not single out a group of people on whom to make irresponsible decisions.
Okay, great. So then you are in agreement with me that I, as an immigrant, should never be FBI checked. I should never be fingerprinted. I should never be photographed every 2 years. I should never have those things imposed on me as an immigrant.
Absolutely not. Any human being should not be harassed by a gang of thugs who are claiming to be ruling over them.
It's an interesting thing. So you think then that we as humans and we as American citizens or immigrants, or I'm a permanent resident in the United States.
LRN.FM. Good call. She waited a while for that one.
Here in the United States, Nikki, you're not allowed to say the S-bomb on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, she was sounding like she was saying she was paying an S-ton of taxes, was it? Or
I'm sure
fees
she is.
Or something like
yeah,
that?
I'm sure she's paying a bunch of taxes.
Yeah.
So are people in the United States, too.
I don't think you should have to pay taxes either. I think that's a scam.
Well, I tend to agree. Yeah,
it's just a bunch of government gangsters that demand money out of you and demand obedience out of you, and they take the money that you've earned, you know, legitimately, probably, by doing business and satisfying customers with whatever it is, product or service that you're offering. And the government people just come in and they say, we'll have that percentage of that amount.
Yes, we will determine. We've determined that this is the proper percentage for you to pay of the amount of money that you make, and then we're going to provide these services to you. Oh, you don't want these services?
Well, we'll take it
too
anyway.
Too bad. We're going to do it anyway. Right. You don't have to take the services, although you can't live without them, whatever they are, because, you know, well, can you read? Well, thank a government school teacher. Yeah. Oh, you didn't go to a government school? Well, don't you want people to be able to read in your community? Well, it's this sort of roundabout circular logic. As far as I'm concerned, people need governance. Yes, 100%. I believe that they do. However, when you give somebody a monopoly, I am not a monopolist. That's the difference. I believe that government services should be offered in a marketplace where you can choose your governing agency. And if you don't like the services that you're getting from one, you should be able to switch over and go to another. Yeah, you can do that geographically now. But what if that wasn't attached to geography? Well, maybe we'd get better service if there was competition.
Hmm.
Competition tends to bring better things in a marketplace. That's all I'm going to say here. And so when it comes to immigration, I think that the real problems with immigration have to do with government handouts. You know, the government as a police state, nobody seems to want a police state until they've got some little plan that needs to be enacted or whatever. And it doesn't make any sense. The government is irresponsible and inefficient in everything it does. Anything you turn over to it, it's going to mess up. Ask the people who work for the government. They know.
If they're being honest with you. Now, I don't know if this is the same person in our DLive chat room. The texter here is I Bully Women. The DLive. By the way, you can join us on DLive. It's a video streaming platform at DLive.LRN.FM. Says here, but y'all are for major corporations to do whatever they want and not pay taxes?
Okay, well, I can address that. A corporation is a creation of the government. If you have a problem with corporations, then you have a problem with something the government has done.
Mm-hmm. Government
like,
also, by the way, are corporations.
The state is the only organization that can create a corporation. And if you're an anti-monopolist like me, you don't support the notion of corporations.
That's
so
right.
No, I don't support the corporations doing whatever it is that they want. That's a dodge made by a bunch of people who have not spent any time thinking about this, that are attempting to spend no time thinking about this.
Right. Now whether they've thought about it or not is another question. They probably have thought about how bad they think corporations are.
Sure. Corporations have only power. There is no power that a corporation has that is not given it to it by the state.
Right. Like it's the corporations, for instance, classically protect from liability. For instance, they protect the corporate actors, the people behind the corporation from liability for their actions. And this is a protection provided to them by the state, which is, by the way, a corporation. And you forgot to mention that part. But have you ever heard the term municipal corporation.
Yep.
That's usually the term that is applied to a city or a town. Well, guess what? The state governments are also incorporated. So all of these things are corporations. What is a corporation? It is a concept cooked up by attorneys, people who are in the world of the legal land, the law. Attorneys cooked up this concept to figure out, we need to figure out a way that we can help protect rich and powerful people. And that's what they did, because they are rich and powerful people, and they figured out a way to protect themselves.
The United States government incorporated in 1789.
Yeah. So corporations are total BS, and does that mean I'm against business? No, of course not. You should be able to run a business, and you should be liable for the actions that you take whilst running that business, whether or not there's some sort of corporate veil or not.
I would say this, that if the state has the right to tax any entity in the world, that entity is a corporation because the state created it.
But even then, Mark, they don't pay taxes.
I wasn't created by the state, so when the state taxes me, it's theft.
But even then, they don't pay taxes because every corporation passes whatever the tax burden is onto the customer. So it's always the consumer, the buyer, that pays all these corporate taxes. More coming up. Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Join us on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Tonight it's Ian here.
And Mark.
And I do want to let you know that ForkFest is coming up and fast. It is less than a month away. At this point, we will be at Rogers Campground in 4 weeks, Mark. We're going to be broadcasting Free Talk Live from Rogers Campground for ForkFest 2019. It will be the third annual decentralized camping festival. There's some libertarian camping festivals out there. This is the one that doesn't have any organizers. There's no central committee. There's no ticket price. There's no ticket. If somebody sells you a ticket, you just got scammed because there's no ticket for ForkFest. It's just, you got to get your camping site, so you do have to pay for that, you know, whether it's an RV site or a campsite or even a motel room at Rogers Campground. They're very affordable, and of course, you can share them with others, and that way you can lower your costs even further. So it's probably the most affordable libertarian camping event out there. Just get yourself up to New Hampshire and come join us in Lancaster, New Hampshire, in the beautiful White Mountains, June 13th through the 18th for ForkFest. And you can go to forkfest.party to learn more about the event. That's an unofficial website linking to the forum and chat room on the Telegram platform where people have been chatting about a variety of their different plans. Because as I said, there are no organizers, no central organizers, but everyone is in charge of themselves. So you get to organize anything you want to organize. So if you want to put together a speaker series or a poker night or, you know, cook for people or whatever it is you want to do, that's up to you. And some people have already, thought up their plans of what they're going to be bringing to the event. I know that the guys from AnyPay.Global are going to be throwing parties every single night, including the Big Gay Dance Party, the return of the Big Gay Dance Party that used to happen at the Porcupine Freedom Festival years ago. So that's going to be fun. Jay Noon, our Wednesday night co-host, is heading up what he's calling Man Camp, where people of all ages will be able to learn how to be more manly, I guess.
Well, they can learn how to forge.
Do manly things.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can learn more over at forkfest.party and connect with the, as I said, the chat room and the forum to find out what's going on and who's got what planned over at forkfest.party. I heard Alt Expo's going to be there with various different people speaking. Chris Wade, who's our Friday night co-host, is already booked for a speaking gig at the Alt Expo tent. So it's going to be very good, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm expecting it's going to be even bigger than year number two was. So join us for ForkFest. Go to forkfest.party, and you can learn more there. Let's go to Gene the Christian Anarchist, listening online. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, hello, guys. I wanted to I've fought the government a little bit in my past. I mm-hmm. took several cases to the Supreme Court regarding taxes, and I fought the local people on some zoning issues. So I've had a little bit of experience in filing my own paperwork and following the rules of the court and et cetera. One thing that I think people need to understand, and this is where most people go wrong, is they think that the government actually follows rules.
They don't.
And this is the one simple fact that people need to understand clearly, in order to understand why things happen the way they are, why people get beat up in the street, why people get shot for holding a cell phone, why all of these things happen, why we have to pay these ridiculous fees and taxes and, you know, get pulled over for speeding tickets. It's all related to the simple fact that none of these rules apply to them. That's why the Constitution doesn't apply to them. None of it does. So, simple
well,
little.
They just do whatever they want to do. I mean, that's rule. Yeah. It's actually rule number one. I was talking with Roger Veer about this when we were discussing how the government doesn't seem to follow any rules. Well, they actually have it codified in New Hampshire in the district courts. If you look at rule number one, this is no joke. It's right there. Look, pull up the every court system has its rules, right? So if you pull up the rules for the New Hampshire district court system, rule number one is, and I'm this is from memory, but it's very short. It's the rules may be waived at any time in the interests of justice. So at any time the judge wants to, he can just ignore all of the court rules.
And they determine what justice is because they're a monopoly.
That's right.
And the previous person who was claiming that, you know, somehow corporations are worse than the government. And look, I'm not here. You will not hear me coming on the air and saying that corporations are great. That's a canard. It's a straw man. But whatever. At least with a corporation, I can choose not to do business with them. Yeah, sure. They may be a big corporation, and they may have some kind of control beyond me. They certainly may have large assets beyond what I've got. There's no doubt about that. But try not doing business with the government for a little while. The United States government. You know, if you're in the United States, try not doing business with the United States government and your state government and your local government. Just attempt that. Now,
and the corporations are all birthed by the government, so the government is their father.
Father, mother, or whatever it is.
We have a corporation ourselves, you know, for our business.
Sure.
And basically, we had to beg them for permission to become a corporation, and then we have to follow their rules. Now, if we don't follow their rules, we get in trouble. But they don't have to follow any rules, basically.
Yep.
So,
it's the social contract. They'll change it anytime they wish. It's a contract that you never signed, that they change the terms whenever they wish, and somehow people will claim you have to follow it.
And then they point to it and act like, well, you agreed to this.
Right. You agree to be these people's serf by continuing to live here. Oh, you mean I can move someplace where I don't have to be a somebody's serf? No. If you go anyplace else, then you must explicitly. So I'm implicitly agreeing by living in the place of my birth, but I explicitly have to agree by going to another country and signing a piece of paper when I get there that says that I'll follow all their laws, even though I have no clue what they all are. How could you?
And the law doesn't even have to mean what it appears to mean. They can reinterpret it at any time to mean anything they want.
Absolutely true.
Law and order, my foot. It doesn't exist.
So we already live in anarchy. People keep talking to me about anarchy being dangerous. I say, well, you already live in anarchy because none of the rules apply to the people at the top. So you're already living under the warlords that you fear.
Great points. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate the call tonight. The toll-free numbers. Yeah, but you get to vote for the warlords, so it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's hilarious because when was the last time your vote counted for something? I should said, when was the last time your vote mattered? Mm. It counted, right? Mm. So when they counted up the votes, and if it wasn't separated by one single vote, then your vote didn't matter, although it did count in all likelihood.
Well, but the other warlord could have gotten into office.
So?
If enough people had voted for
him. Happens all the time in other jurisdictions around the United States. Let's go ahead and take a look at those jurisdictions. Are they markedly different? Some of them are. I mean, certainly you can look at New York State and say this jurisdiction is by far and removed the most statist area in the United States.
Yeah, it's
the
awful.
Freedom in the 50 states says that that's true. You can find a handful of places that compete for a freer United States, and you could choose to live in any one of those. But I mean, are you free, ladies and gentlemen? As the country continues to slip down the world's freedom charts.
Coming up, you're not even free to have a knife in London. We'll tell you about a dangerous weapons bust.
It's true in the U.S., too. They have lots of knife restrictions.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you can't carry them out in certain states, I guess is what you're saying.
They can't be over a certain length. They have to be folding.
We're coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is, the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called helpmetakebitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. helpmetakebitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms, although I should stop saying it because I can't get the hardware to work here in the studio. We get some technical difficulties. So you may
we
have
do
to,
have the Discord.
We have them.
Chat with lots of listeners.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah, the Discord's there, and it's useful most of the time, 24 hours a day. It's a chat room, and you can go in there in several chat rooms.
And they're chatting 24 hours a day.
Just
there.
About, yeah, around the clock. Lots of people there discussing various different things. So check that out at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm. And also coming up, Mark, we're going in after Forkfest is over and done with in July. We're going to be going to Vegas for Freedom Fest.
I'm sure that'll go better than our last trip together.
Oh, you mean to Tokyo where you couldn't make it into the airport?
Right.
Or out of the airport?
Conviction as a juvenile keeps me out of the whole country.
Yeah.
Have to take a 18-hour flight there and then an 18-hour flight back. It was miserable.
But Freedom Fest, you won't have that problem.
No.
Because you'll be going to Vegas.
Been to Vegas many times, and it's awesome. They welcome my kind there.
Well, the theme there this year is the Wild West. It's the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world, with a couple thousand at least people attending this event. It's a big one.
Yep.
And I don't know, because I've never actually been, but Mark, you've been to a few of these things. They're going to have some big-name speakers like Penn Jillette, Lenore Skenazy, Candace Owens, John Mackey, Kevin O'Leary, Kevin Harrington, Stephen Moore, Grover Norquist, and others. You can go to freedomfest.com/FTL, learn more about the event, and get your tickets now. You can use coupon code FTL50, that's 50, FTL50, to get a discount. And if you're still, you know, not sure what this is all about, you can actually sample the last five or the five best speeches from last year for free, including Judge Napolitano, Alan Dershowitz, Charlie Kirk, Heather McDonald, and John Mackey. So if you want to see those speeches, just go to freedomfest.com/FTL. They're there. freedomfest.com/FTL. And again, we'll see you at Freedom Fest. It's July 17th through the 20th, by the way, in Vegas. Do you know, Mark, which hotel? We should probably mention that here. Offhand?
It used to be at the Bally's. I have to,
okay, we'll have
check,
to check
and
the website.
See the website.
Freedomfest.com/FTL.
So. I've got our plans, but I couldn't tell you. They all run together for me.
All right, so we continue. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. Let's talk to Tom in Detroit. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hi, Ian, Mark. Glad to speak with you tonight. As I'm sitting here on hold waiting to get on the show, got some bad news, a little bummed out.
Sorry,
I've been a major listener and contributor to Mark Stevens, and I just found out that he's pretty much gave up his slot because he can't do the Saturday shows every week.
You're talking about Mark Stevens. He's the host of Adventures, or excuse me, the author of Adventures in Legal Land. He hosts a show called The No State Project. Actually, I decided last weekend to stop producing the live version on LRN.FM just because he had missed so many different shows over time. My normal rule is for a podcast, if you're so LRN.FM, for listeners that don't know, is the Liberty Radio Network. It's a little internet feed that I program that features liberty-oriented shows from around the planet. And most of them are podcasts, but there are a few live shows, and Mark had a live show, and he had it for most of the existence of LRN.
Yeah, you kicked me on and off several times.
Yeah, basically the rule is if you don't produce every couple of weeks, you get pulled off the air. And I had never really applied that rule to any of the live shows, but I applied it to the podcasters, which is why you were affected by it, Mark, because you have a podcast called Edgington Post. And so, you know, if you're going to take a week off, no problem. That's no big deal. But if you're taking 4 weeks off, then it's something I got to do something. And so it was just what happened was there was just too much dead air and too much, like, for instance, as an example, I was in Japan and Mark gave me a heads up that, you know, somebody was in the hospital, or I think his father-in-law or father is in the hospital. And, you know, obviously that's tough. I understand. But I got the notice 2 hours before he was supposed to go on the air. And unfortunately, I was in Tokyo at the time, so I wasn't awake. So I had no way of fixing, you know, the automation system to make sure that something were to be on in the place where he was supposed to be on. And so we had dead air. And that wasn't the first time something like that had happened. So I just determined that it really wasn't worth all the hassles and dead air and frustrations to continue producing a once a week live show. So I determined that it was no longer going to be on because of that. But that doesn't mean that he's off the network. He's still going to be on, just in podcast form. So Mark does podcast his show at markstevens.net. That's Mark with a C, Stevens.net.
And so if he recommits, then there's a possibility of, sort of figuring things out.
No, I'm pretty much done with the once-a-week shows at this point, Mark, so I'm not really interested in continuing to spend my time. And it's just not worth the time and the hassle for the once-a-week shows to produce live shows at this point for me, so I'm just going to not do that. And so it's not just going to be Mark. It's also going to be the Torchwood Report. I'm going to be talking to them tomorrow. I just haven't had a chance to connect to them either. So, you know, they're still going to be on in podcast form. So they will, you know, Mark will still continue. I actually just put him into the podcast rotation today, so that will continue. So if you're listening to LRN.FM, that's actually going to allow you to do more, or that's going to allow him to be heard more often because he'll be in our podcast rotation rather than just once a week during a live show. So was that what you were calling about tonight, or was there something else that you wanted to share?
No, it's not. It's just something that has really bummed me out. I've been listening to Mark for many years.
Well, he's still going to keep doing his show. It's just he's got some tough, life circumstances that are making it difficult to show up at a specific time, at a specific moment in time.
I understand. And, you know, I totally understand. And he is overwhelmed right now with life. You know, the guy's been doing this for 20 years. And you got to give him a break. He doesn't make any money doing this. He's doing this out of the kindness of his heart.
Yeah, nobody makes any money on the Liberty Radio Network. It's just something that is essentially there to focus on the different Liberty-oriented shows out there and give them some exposure. So, again, there's really no reason to be upset here, Tom. He's not stopping doing his show.
You'll still hear the show.
He just released one this week, as a matter of fact. It's just when you're doing radio, you've got to be somewhere you've got to be in a studio at a specific time, at a specific day. And if you're not there, then, you know, you're off the air. And and that makes it difficult because podcasts, is a lot easier. If you're producing audio content, it's easier to just be able to do it whenever you damn well feel like it. If you're a podcaster, you know this, Mark. You've got the Edgington Post where you do interviews. You can schedule an interview for whenever's best for your guest. They don't have to be there at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday or whatever. They can be there at 2 in the afternoon on a Monday.
It's a heck of a lot easier.
Right, or whenever. So, you know, Mark's having a situation with his family going to the hospital and he's got to be places where he's not expecting to be. Being able to do a podcast version of the show is going to be a lot more flexible. He's going to be able to continue producing content regularly, although it may not be 4 p.m. Saturday afternoon Eastern time every single week. It may be on Friday. It may be on Thursday.
And the advantage, so what he can do is he can set up a call with his callers, right? Like, so he was doing a call-in show. Call in and talk about, you know, whatever you did that was a legal thing. You can still do that. There are radio programs in America that sound like they're live that aren't. They set up these calls and they do them ahead of time. They stick to the clock, so they're taking the breaks at the same times as they always are. But it's it's recorded. And that's fine because a live show really only matters to the people who are calling in. If I tell you that
which is like a fraction of a fraction,
right? They say that only 1% of your audience will ever call in.
Yeah.
And so thank you to all of you that do. Thank you to everybody who listens. It doesn't make a difference. You get the entertainment how you want to have it. But when I tell you we're live from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time every day of the year, I am telling you the truth.
Yeah.
But I could be lying.
Well, and it's a huge burden to have to be in the same damn place every second. I understand why people are like, because I've offered to people before, like, hey, you want to take your show live? Like somebody who's really good at doing a podcast or whatever.
Like,
and they're like,
no.
Hell no, I don't want to be somewhere at a specific time every single week or every single day. So we got more coming up here. Thank you, Tom, for the call tonight. If you're calling about something else, well, call us another night. Appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But the good news is, because he'll be on our podcast lineup, you'll actually hear more of Mark Stevens now, because it used to just be once on a Saturday, and now he'll be in the podcast loop, which plays multiple times throughout the week. So go to lrn.fm if you want to learn more about that. We go at more Free Talk Live coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. We've got a lot of features on our site, and they are free for you. There is a way that you can support the show, though. By becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier, which is what Leah H. has done. So thank you to Leah H., who's a Free Talk Live silver amplifier, meaning she gives $5 a month toward the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. That is a way for you to help us promote Free Talk Live to new radio stations around the country. Just hit 200. Finally, I think we're up to like 204, 205. We're going to lose one, sadly, this weekend, and I think it's worth announcing because it's a big one. Normally, we don't announce a station that's on the way out the door, but this is a big one.
We've lost hundreds, just like every other show out
there. We have.
Although we actually keep our list up to date, unlike so many out there.
Yeah.
When you find out how the list of stations that talk show host has, in many cases, that list is basically
highly inaccurate.
Yeah.
Highly. And this is what people don't know this about talk shows, because they're not looking through affiliate lists. Why would they know?
Yeah, I don't think most people care how many stations most people are on. But, you know, Rush is attributed to having 600 radio stations. Free Talk Live has 200.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to say, you know, if you want to count radio stations, I'm sure some of the stations he's got are much bigger than some of the ones we have. But we have a couple of good sized ones, including this one.
We do. And that's actually where our next caller is coming from. So thank you, by the way, to Leah H. And you can join the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. You can use PayPal. You can use credit card. You can use Bitcoin BTC. And you'll get some cool perks, some benefits that give you special access to a few things that other folks don't get over at amp.freetalklive.com. Kirby is with us listening to WIBC-FM in Indianapolis. And before you go on, Kirby, I just want to say thank you to WIBC, and I got the notice from their program director a couple weeks ago that this will be our last weekend on the air on Saturday nights on WIBC, which is one of our biggest stations. He was quick to point out it wasn't anything that we did, and he explained why it was that Free Talk Live is no longer going to be heard on that station.
He's bringing on new talent.
Well, he's got talent in the building, a young gentleman, it sounds like.
That's laudable.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's the absolute right reason to, you know, take a syndicated show off and put a local show in is to cultivate new talent. It's hard to find young people interested in radio, period. Let alone find one that's actually interested in being on the air.
Whomever this young person is, I wish them the best.
Yeah, kudos to you, dude, or dudette, or I'm not sure who it is, but you know,
you shouldn't be trying to guess genders with young people these days.
Yeah, right. I mean, but whatever. Kudos.
Self-identify.
Kudos
as a puppy,
to whoever it is that's coming next. And of course, you know, the door's still open, so we never burn a bridge with a radio station. That's never something that we do. There have actually been stations who've taken us off the air, who've put us back on years later, for whatever reason. And sometimes they'll take us off for disagreeing with something that we've said, and then put us back on years later because they know we're reliable and that we're there.
Remember that program director pulled us off, pulled off Mark Levin, mm-hmm. put us on, and then Mark Levin sent him an email excoriating him for having done that?
I don't remember that, but that's funny. Kirby, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Welcome.
Hey, first of all, I didn't know you at WIBC was going to let you guys go. I just hope it's not another one of those severely right conservative hosts that they generally have on.
I could not tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's talk radio, so you probably figure that it'll be a conservative, but you never know.
It's not unlikely.
Well, being as this is Indiana and it's WIBC, I can guarantee you we'll be a conservative.
Okay.
But I wanted to tell your earlier caller, Dave, who doesn't like black guys or black folks, I just wanted to tell him thanks for that so I know now.
Are you black guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
For 58 years.
For 58 years now.
And
you,
yeah.
Have you ever considered trying something else?
I would, but it would probably cost way too much to become anything other than black.
Michael Jackson tried that, and it really didn't work out for him.
Yeah, people did not treat Michael Jackson well over the being born a young black man and growing into an old white woman. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But hey, I wanted to remind all of your callers what Benjamin Franklin said. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary freedom deserves neither.
Mm.
Neither. We are the most surveilled country in the world. I read the other day that the average American has his picture taken at least 200 times by surveillance cameras every day.
I wouldn't doubt it.
If you're in a city, I believe it. I'm not sure if that's true here in Keene, New Hampshire, where I live.
But the average American probably lives somewhere darn close to a city.
Yeah, I mean, could be.
I mean, there's a lot of people that live in cities.
I guarantee you downtown Indianapolis, because I'm sitting up under four security cameras as we speak.
Yeah.
Hey, I really appreciate your guys' show. I'll keep listening to you on YouTube 7 days a week as I do now.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. And by the way, you can always go to freetalklive.com. We got a podcast. You can subscribe to that. We've got live streaming. We've got YouTube and DLive at dlive.lrn.fm. But here's what I'd like to suggest to our dedicated WIBC listeners. You know, try out the new guy. See what you think of him. And also, like I said, we're still out there. We're still going to be out there on the internet. And you know, you never know where we're going to pop up next. I think the best thing you can do is contact the program director at the radio station and just tell him thanks for airing Free Talk Live and ask him if there's anywhere else he can fit us in, because there's a whole lot of hours in the week, whether it's, you know, in the middle of the night or Sunday nights, because we do this show 7 nights a week. And I know he's loaded up with
work
over there.
There's fresh content coming in every day of the week from Free Talk Live.
So just, you know, take a moment, send an email to the program director at WIBC or call him up during the work week, during business hours, and just say thank you. His name's David Wood. Great guy, real, you know, pro, and we've had a lot of fun on WIBC. It's been a great station.
Not looking for anybody to get out the pitchforks and torches on this guy.
No, he's doing the right thing for his station. He definitely is.
I work a block from there. Maybe I'll take him some donuts. I know they all
Perfect.
Love long donuts over there.
Every minute.
Radio people love donuts and, you know, pizza and, you know, all that stuff. So. Hey, Kirby, thank you.
Cops then, huh?
Thanks for the call. Feel free to continue to call in. You don't have to be listening to call the show, you know, but of course, it's nice if you are. So thank you for the call. I appreciate hearing from you tonight. And like I said, normally we don't say goodbyes to radio stations, but this is one of the biggest ones that we've ever had.
Yep.
WIBC actually used to be a Heritage AM station in Indianapolis, those call letters. They got an FM talk station years ago. So they did one of those things where they had both the AM and the FM simulcasting the same content.
But it was an independent FM. It wasn't a translator.
Correct. It's a monster FM. It's like 25,000 watts. It's a big FM station.
Right. Translators are not 25,000 watts.
Yeah. The max translator size is 250 watts.
Really?
A translator cannot cover anything more than the city of license, as I understand it. So it's at one point, so they did the thing where they were transmitting on both the AM and the FM, and then eventually they split off the AM to, I think, become like a sports station or something like that. It's doing something else now. It's not the same talk station. So they actually did a transition. So whereas a lot of stations will have both the AM and the FM just to kind of maximize the audience, they figured, well, the FM's a big monster station. We're just going to move the whole programming over there. And then at some point after that, they added Free Talk Live to weekends there. So anyway. So keep with us. We're over at freetalklive.com. Our toll-free number is 855-450, free like freedom, 855-450-3733. These are just the ebbs and the flows of the radio world, Mark. As you mentioned, we've, over the years of being on since 2004 in syndication, so for 15 years, we've lost 200 radio stations.
And the vast majority of them have to do with programming changes.
Maybe. Some of them go out of business. Yep. Some of them go, change to music
formats.
Some
of them try music for a little while. Then they come back to talk. And when they come back to talk, maybe they're going to do sports. Maybe they're going
to
do, you know,
some
you never
switch
know.
To sports and so on and so forth. And because it's very rare that we'll actually get kicked off for, like, the program director doesn't like us for some reason. That's very rare.
Yeah, it's happened.
It has happened.
And obviously, no show is perfect for every station.
That's true.
And it would be ridiculous for us to presume that that was the case. So I can live with it. If we get kicked off because the program director can't stand us, that wasn't the right one for us anyway.
Well, it wasn't the right program director. Sometimes 6 months later, the program director's gone and there's somebody new in their slot.
That happens too.
So it's always changing business.
A lot of stations in this country where it's the owner is the program director, though.
In a lot of cases, that's true. I think IBC is owned by a larger company, though. I forget which one.
In a big city like Indy, that's likely.
So anyway, toll-free number if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. I mentioned this story about the knives, a big confiscation. They're making the streets safer there in London, according to...
By taking butcher knives off the streets.
Pluralist.com, London police officers triumphantly announced Tuesday they had seized a weapons cache, only to be ruthlessly mocked by Americans. The Regent's Park Police, who are responsible for a ward of London's Camden Borough, tweeted a photo of the contraband. You know how cops do this. They, like, gather their marijuana that they confiscated.
Here's our stuff we took.
And they, you know, they're bragging, right? Yeah. Oh, look, we're keeping you safe.
We've robbed the public again.
Well, in this particular weapons cache, they actually included a spoon. And apparently appeared to be serious about it. There's more on the way here at 855-450 Free Like Freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year.
I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a Big Ten approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. Freedomfest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to freedomfest.com/FTL. Freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.
Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Take control of the airwaves here and bring up anything that's on your mind as we launch into the third hour of this program. Our number is 855-450 Free Like Freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've been talking about the ridiculous restrictions over in the UK. They've got new camera systems that they're employing to attempt to identify people through facial recognition. One man was fined £90 for attempting to avoid being seen by one of those cameras. It didn't appear that he was wanted for anything. He just didn't want to be seen because, well, shouldn't you be free to hide your damn face in public? Apparently not in the UK. And also in other states, you just don't think for a moment that it can only happen there, that it
right.
can't happen here. There's plenty of states in the United States where you cannot wear a mask any time of the year or part of the year. So in New Hampshire's unusual, Mark, I think, in that we can actually cover our faces. Like if I wanted to wear a balaclava around in New Hampshire during the summertime, would be crazy. I don't believe there's any law prohibiting me from doing that. But in a lot of states, you're going to get arrested if you do that.
I'm thinking, so in many cases, you know, during the winter here in New Hampshire, absolutely, it's a good idea to have something to cover your face at times. But
yeah.
I'm wondering, I guess these states must have exemptions for full-face motorcycle helmets. That's a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe it's while you're on the motorcycle you're allowed to use it, but walking around the streets, I don't know. Because I know, you know, the excuse is, well, you know, bank robbers, right? Like, you can't have people walking around in masks because criminals is kind of the reason why those laws exist. But it's just it's, nice.
To it's live interesting in, that there's clothes that are illegal, though.
Yeah, it's nice to live in a place where that's not the case. So,
what about a veil that a bride wears?
That's a good question.
Is that a mask?
Yeah. Well, what about a burqa? So
I've never considered wearing one, but yeah.
So Pluralist.com is reporting on another ridiculous story out of the UK. If you might have heard, not only has the UK banned guns, but they've also banned knives. And now the Regent's Park Police, who are responsible for a ward of London's Camden Borough, have tweeted a photo of a cache of knives that they have taken from someone, including an assortment of old kitchen knives, a broken fencing sword, and a rusty spoon.
Is it a rusty spoon? I thought it was tarnished. And
it could
was
be
silver.
Old tarnished silver, yeah. Okay. Let's see. They said they'd swooped in a day earlier at the request of a local charity to ensure the implements didn't, quote, get into the wrong hands.
Hold on. How did the local charity have them then? Is this just from their kitchen?
Yeah, it might have been. From here, here's their actual Twitter post from at MPS Regent's Park. Yesterday, we conducted weapons sweeps, dealt with a person injured from a van reversing on them, reported a burglary, and collected all these from at Scope Charity Shop, who diligently didn't want them to get into the wrong hands.
So this is a secondhand shop that people have given stuff to.
Is it? Scope. Scope, equality for disabled people. We won't stop until we achieve a society where all disabled people enjoy equality and fairness. So they run some kind of shop. Maybe
right.
It is. It's a secondhand shop.
This is a charity shop where you know, do a sort of goodwill thing. You donate things and then they sell them. And what they've done is they've collected these knives and apparently a rusty spoon and a broken sword. And, this is called a weapons cache.
Yeah.
Well, good job, Bobbies.
Yep. Independent journalist Tim Poole retweeted the post noting, quote, there's an effing spoon and butter knife in this photo, unquote.
Somebody got a butter knife.
The UK has gone mad.
Pretty soon America's going to be a prison.
They chose to include the spoon in this photo. They could have just left it out. They really do think spoons are dangerous.
They laid all these things out.
Right. For a photograph.
Right. They didn't take a box of knives and dump them on a table and take a picture of it, or even just take a picture of the box of knives. They laid each one of these things out individually.
They did.
And one of these people, at the very least, at least one person that was at this particular police station thought it was worth including a old spoon.
Yeah. And there's even a sharpener here as well. Looks like, like a knife sharpener.
Like a piece, a rock? A whetstone?
No, the long one. The long... You could run somebody through with it,
okay,
probably.
Well, okay, the knife sharpeners are rather dull on the end.
Right.
I mean, if There's you were...
A, it's a pokey thing. You could poke
you
someone with it.
If you strapped it to the hood of your car and ran into somebody, it would go through them. But you're going to make somebody very angry if a regular male adult, if you poke him with a knife sharpener.
In the
you
replies,
could sharpen it up.
One concerned citizen said he had a silverware drawer to report to police. Serial killer trolled a user whose bio said he's a former police officer. Dozens of commenters took shots at the UK's reputation as a heavily regulated, not to say unfree and hyper-politically correct island. However, British Twitter users saw the humor in the Regent's Police tweet too. Scottish journalist Liam Kirklady helpfully shared a zoomed-in image of the spoon. Londoner, and anyway, they're just going on talking about people's responses. Some of them were funny, but most of them not so much. Now, it does here claim that London has a knife problem. It's just that officials have responded in ways that conservatives in America would never tolerate and liberals can only dream of by literally banning the possession of knives.
Right. I mean, there are potential knife criminals in the United States, too. It's just that either they are scared of getting shot or they already have been. So if you attempt to use a knife to rob people in the United States, shortly things are going to go poorly for you. And the reason in Great Britain that it doesn't go poorly is because that's the apex weapon that most people can get their hands on. So they use a knife. Now, knives have probably killed more people in the course of human history than guns have. But...
Wow.
They probably kill more people in the United States currently, as a matter of fact. But everybody focuses on guns because the people that think that somehow you're going to get rid of crime focus on guns first. First, they want to go after the big, black, scary rifles. Then they're going to go after the smaller, scary guns. Then they're going to go after all the guns. Then they're going to have to go after the knives. That's just the natural progression of things. They've already gotten farther in London. And I don't know what would happen if somebody came up and tried to rob you while you're in London. You pulled out a gun and shot them center of mass.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
You'd go to prison.
Here in New Hampshire, nothing would happen.
Yeah, here in New Hampshire, you'd go home.
Right.
You'd probably have to ask a few, you may be asked a few questions by the police.
You probably should be asked a few questions by the police.
You wouldn't have any obligation to answer them, but, they could ask you.
Yeah, and hopefully you've discharged your weapon in a safe direction, but...
into the offender.
Yeah,
you mean?
Well, you shouldn't count on the projectile just stopping.
No, it may go through
the
them.
Offender,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yeah.
But at the time of the moment, you probably aren't thinking too hard about what's behind the person.
That's the first thing that you should be thinking about.
Yeah.
It's the moment. Number one thing you need to think
about. There's
not
a whole lot of thinking.
You're responsible
be doing.
For where that projectile
sure.
goes, and it doesn't matter whether it's coming out of an offender or not.
I understand.
Unless you're a police officer, you're responsible for that projectile.
That's true. There have been cops who have just blasted away in the streets and hit innocent people and never actually caught any kind of charges. Then they go on citing more of these tweets from these bureaucrats in London. Here's one from the mayor of London with some tough talk.
Oh, boy.
No excuses. There is never a reason to carry a knife.
They weren't carrying a knife. This was from a secondhand shop where people had turned in kitchen implements.
Yeah, he's not responding to this incident. It's just an example of the tough talk surrounding knives in London.
I carry a knife every day. Because
and there's
useful.
Reasons. Yeah, you can cut things with it.
It's I used to be a farmer, and when I was a farmer, I used the knife a lot. I get used to having a knife, and I use it regularly, maybe once a day, once every other day or something, and it's nice to have it on my belt, and I just don't feel right without it.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
You use it for tool-related things like opening boxes or cutting things that need to be cut.
Yep.
Or self-defense, if necessary.
Never happened.
It could happen. Self-defense happens millions of times in the United States, across the U.S. in various different ways. So, hopefully it won't happen. But if it does, if you do need to defend yourself, it's not a bad thing to have a weapon on you. So, the idea that there's never a reason to carry a knife, there are thousands of reasons to carry a knife.
There are millions. More than a million situations. There's more than a million situations. There was a 1996 study. In the United States by the Center for CDC, and they determined that more than a million times per year, guns are used to de-escalate situations and prevent crime.
Well, if you thought that picture from Regent's Park Police was stupid, Mark, I got one that may actually top it, and we'll share that with you on the way. You can share your thoughts as well and bring up whatever's on your mind. Plus, Calvin Klein controversial ad. We'll tell you what it is coming up. This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. I gotta wonder what it's like when the UK police conduct one of their weapon sweeps. Do they, take themselves all ultra serious as they're going through your kitchen drawer and pulling out, your steak knife? Are they... what is it like? I wanna see video of what one of these weapon sweeps looks like, because the Regent's Park Police in London at MPS Regent's Park on Twitter, they are constantly bragging about all their weapon sweeps 14 hours ago, talking about how they're busting drugs and doing weapon sweeps all around the area. And as you scroll down through their Twitter profile, you see a variety of photographs of drugs, they've got some little bagged up dime bags of cannabis that they busted from somebody. It says they
making the streets safer.
Yeah, they found
people
them.
People want a snack.
They actually found them in a communal stairwell, so they didn't make an arrest. some snitch brought them to the location, and then they actually retweeted.
I wouldn't smoke pot that I just found on the street either.
They retweet. So basically, if you scroll down, their whole profile is just bragging about all the minor drug busts that they've made and all the weapons sweeps that they've been doing. And then there's a few of them about how good their police officers are and how they're exercising. But one of them, a retweet from the Camden Police
account.
Which isn't too far from what I understood from the previous article.
Where they have caught somebody at apparently a school for having a knife, and they also caught him with a hammer and what appears to be like a piece of metal. And then I don't even know what I'm looking at here. Like, they're bragging about all kinds of things that really aren't worth bragging about. The story actually coming from pluralist.com, I just wanted to continue this because the laughable posts that they made recently showing probably a few dozen knives, but also an old spoon and apparently a butter knife in there, bragging about the big weapons cache that they supposedly took from a local charity shop, like a thrift store. That was pretty laughable. But then as you scroll down, you'll find that there's another picture from Regent's Park Police, this one from March 16th of last year, where they literally have tweeted a photograph of a couple of pairs of pliers, two screwdrivers, and a pair of scissors. I mean, it doesn't appear to be that they're joking. They say in this photo's caption, these items were found during a hashtag weapons sweep near Mackworth House, Augusta Street during Op Scepter, safely disposed of and taken off the streets.
Taken off the streets. I'd be so
annoyed. There's needle nose pliers here.
I'd be so annoyed if some cop took my scissors from me.
Right.
I don't even know what this is about. It's so crazy. I mean, you can't walk around with pliers in your pockets. I mean, are they shaking people down and taking pliers from people?
How does anybody get any work done in London? I mean, how does anybody with a work truck survive the police driving by?
Tools. I guess tools are outlawed.
They're literally... I'm looking at another one here. This is from the Jubilee Police, also included at the pluralist.com article. Yet another legitimate police account where it's a shot of a handful of rusty tools, including an old rusty wrench, rusty screwdrivers, a tiny little blade, like maybe a 2.5-inch blade where the actual handle is twice as large as the blade itself, and even like a putty knife thing, you know, like one of those things that painters use.
Sure, you can sharpen any of these things up, but this is how ridiculous it gets once you basically outlaw tools. A gun's a tool,
yeah,
admittedly, but knife is much more of a tool. You know, it's a very simple tool that man has used for a long time. And yes, I'm willing to admit that the knife was probably the second tool created, and it was probably used very, very quickly to end a life.
And the caption here on this from the Jubilee Police: today, officers conducted weapons sweeps in Sandhurst Road and Mottingham Road in 9. Several items found in bushes at the back of Sandhurst Road. Hashtag combat knife crime. And that's this picture of a bunch of old rusty tools. Look, the reason they were thrown in the bushes is because somebody decided they didn't need them anymore because they're old, crappy, rusty tools. These aren't weapons.
Well, I don't know. The thugs in the the vicinity may very well be using rusty tools because they've got nothing
else.
That's
all they have.
Well, by the way, that means that everybody else has nothing to defend themselves with, but that they can just carry around easily. If a guy comes up to you with a good-sized wrench and you've got nothing to defend yourself with, well, good luck to you. The bobbies aren't going to be around. They can't even catch the guy with the wrench. They've got to find it in the bushes later.
Let's go to David. He's in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yeah, another day in unnecessary censorship.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Jack, and I'm 11, and I just finished the Tuttle Twins. Bleep. And that taught me bleep, bleep, and bleep.
What? What are you referring to?
Unnecessary censorship is just sort of what's... it would be funny to censor certain words out of things.
Oh.
And I did an ad with my son.
Yeah.
And so what David's saying is, wouldn't it be funny if you censored the ad and it would sound like Jack?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Was that what you're calling about?
You can't tell jokes to Ian, David.
I thought he was saying someone censored the Tuttle Twins ad. I couldn't understand why that would...
You can't tell jokes to Ian, David.
You didn't laugh either, Mark.
I do. he knew where it was. He's too fast. He already knew where it was all going, and so he had his little inside laugh. But the judge in question. One more fact that you don't know yet, Mark. You haven't heard this one, Mark.
Which judge? And what question?
There's a body in The New Mexico Truth or Consequences, aptly named town in New Mexico, where judges are criminals, basically. In the New Mexico Judicial Standards website, you can read this for yourself if you want. It's a PDF. Judge Pamela D. Smith, one more fact in the case of where she stole the dead man's money, she also stole his body.
Oh, my.
When the family finally found out months after the judge and her husband, Randy Smith, stole this money, the months later, the family found out that the money was missing, and they tracked it down to having been taken control of by the judge, and they asked for their money back. They also found out that the body of their loved one, which in this case is a brother to this guy's mom and this guy's uncle, the brother uncle, within days of the judge forging documents and entering them into the file, as I described yesterday, by sneaking into the appropriate office and inserting forged documents into a legitimate file. Within days of that, the body had been cremated. And then when the family found out not only about the money, but asked about the body, the judge and her husband said apparently that it had been cremated, but had never yet returned the body to the family. So this body in the form of cremains is floating around out there somewhere. And I'm going to speculate that when this all shakes out in a courtroom instead of just in front of the New Mexico Supreme Court, where it is now, having been deposited there by the...
Hold that thought, David. More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live. It's the live Saturday edition of the program. The toll-free numbers are available to you. Should you wish to join us here, our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And also want to make sure that you know about our various different features on our website. You go to freetalklive.com. And you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners on our forum. You go to forum.freetalklive.com. You'll find other people there talking about a variety of different things. And it's free, like all of the features on our site. That's freetalklive.com and also forum.freetalklive.com. We go back to David. He's in New Mexico. You're talking about a corrupt judge who was cooking the books, literally inserting falsified reports and pages into court files in order to extract money from people. Is that right?
Yeah, they were trying to steal, it was $280,000 in this guy's estate. And she was in control of his estate because she was both the judge and the medical investigator in this county, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and they seized upon the opportunity of the guy having only just a couple living relatives that were involved in his life. They seized on that opportunity to try to steal that $280,000. So they forged some documents, and they transferred all the money into their own accounts, and they did a whole bunch of other things. But the one fact that I'm focusing on today is that that leaves a body that you're denying the family. The body. You're also denying the body a funeral, and then they cremated this guy without any authorization from the family,
which would be a problem for some people's religions. I don't know which religions they are, but some religions don't allow for cremation, and they didn't ask. They just decided this is the easiest, and it is the easiest way to take care of a body. This is the easiest way to take care of him, so they cremated him. Did they at least give the urn and ashes to the family?
Well, there's the salt in the wound. I was getting to that part. And when the family discovered that their uncle brother had died months after the fact, because the state, Pamela D. Smith and Randy Smith in particular, denied them that rightful information. When they found out months later, they inquired about the assets, the personal possessions of value, and the bank accounts, and they also inquired about their uncle. And the court documents that I was reading don't go a whole lot into that, but what they do say is that even when the judge Pamela Smith and her husband Randy were confronted on all of this and called before the Supreme Court, even after it was before the Supreme Court, the family had not had the cremains returned to them, which, like I started to say, leads me to a speculation that they may have tampered with evidence and maybe dumped the ashes into Elephant Butte Lake. Might be a good place to dump them when you live in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Well, she's not above modifying a court file. You had called in last night to say this judge got caught red-handed, basically sneaking into a clerk's office early in the morning and in modifying the files to adding pages that didn't exist there previously. So if she's willing to modify a court document, she's certainly willing to, you know, falsify evidence in other ways, right?
Yeah, and that's not, and those are just a couple of the most egregious thing that she did. Like I said, it's really entertaining reading. If anybody wants to read that, her file, what was her name again?
The judge?
Pamela D. Smith, and this is in the, at the NMJSC dot whatever. All you gotta do is Google New Mexico Judicial Standards Commission. It comes right up. You go to their site, you go to the 2017 year, or search her name, and it'll come right up. It's easy to find.
David, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. He's got some doozies, man, of these judges getting caught out there. And as I pointed out last night, just because...
These are the best of the best, ladies and gentlemen.
These are your betters. Well, these are the people who decide
they
important
They certainly
things.
Believe they are.
Yeah.
And
they believe they can't get caught.
They've
either.
Gone through whatever vetting process there is out there, and this lady is only the worst of them.
Mm-hmm. They're one that got caught.
They're only
worst at doing it. You mean worst at like getting caught?
Well, they're only culling the most, egregious 0.1%.
Right. There's others out there doing things like this who have not gotten caught.
Right. They have to cull a certain amount of them in order to remain relevant in people's lives. But, who watches the watchers is really the question here.
Apparently this CCTV was, cameras.
This was, this was citizens that found this.
Yeah.
This wasn't law enforcement. This wasn't some kind of special judicial branch or anything like that. This was citizenry.
All right, so moving to the Calvin Klein ad. Mark, have you heard about this controversy over a female model kissing a female robot?
Was it a real robot or a real female model? Like, what are we talking about here?
I honestly am not clear on if this is a physical robot or an animated thing.
Okay.
It's not clear because it looks pretty real when you're watching this 30-second video.
They've got these, like, latex mouths that are going over these animatronic figures that they're calling robots these days. But at this point, we don't have androids, right? Like, C-3PO isn't wandering around.
No,
it does kind of show that things are going to be closer to Data than they will be to C-3PO, though.
Calvin Klein, this is from USA Today, is apologizing after the fashion label came under fire for a video campaign showing model Bella Hadid kissing female robot Lil Michaela.
And that's a problem. Why?
That's what this is so, you know, surprising for. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised with how, triggered and sensitive everybody
Somebody needs to be apologized to for this, but I'm just wondering why they need to be apologized. I understand.
No, nobody needs to be apologized to.
Somebody needs to be apologized for everything. Every time I open my mouth, I should be apologizing to someone.
That's how it's become.
For something.
That's
right.
How ridiculous
this
society
is. Broken the world is. Western civilization is so messed up, you have to give a trigger warning before you speak, and if you don't, you must apologize for it.
The 30-second, I mean, there's just so much stupid here, I don't know if we can break it all down in the next segment here, but the 30-second ad drew backlash since Hadid identifies as heterosexual.
Ah. Oh. You had a heterosexual woman kiss a robot that's shaped like a woman, and therefore that's a problem. If you want to take pictures of lesbians, find real lesbians.
I just find this so stupid. I mean, do you remember back, I think it was in like the 1990s when Tom Selleck was in some movie. Was it Brokeback Mountain or was it before that? No, maybe it's like a TV show. Like some actor who is not a homosexual played a gay person on television or in a movie. And the opinions about it was like, well, this is just wonderful. Look at this. This is a heterosexual man playing a homosexual.
I don't know that Tom Selleck did that, but I know that who's Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Ferris Bueller.
Oh, yeah. Matthew
Broderick.
Somebody, yeah.
He played in Torch Song Trilogy and did a fine job. I can understand why.
But like back then, it was like people were happy that gay people were even being represented at all in the media.
The representation was there, sure.
Right? The fact whether or not it was a gay person playing a gay person or not was immaterial. Now, well, you can't pretend to be gay. You need to hire a real, quote, there are plenty of real LGBTQ models that could have been used, said one critic of this.
Well, that's probably true. But if the fact is if you're not getting lambasted on Twitter, then you haven't, whatever it is that you have has not yet made it. I mean,
you're not doing it right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not getting excoriated in the comments of YouTube, then you're not doing it correctly. And this happens on the left and the right. It's not the left or the right that's responsible here. They're both a bunch of bedwetting namby-pamby snowflakes. Yes. They think they're special. They think their opinion's important. And they put it out there in the most vile and vitriolic manner. And then you have to apologize to them. No, I don't. Ladies and gentlemen, your opinion stinks. Like mine. I'm married. You can't do anything to me. I'm already dead inside.
The toll-free number here tonight is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I mean, I don't even know if Calvin Klein's walk-back statement is even worth sharing here. We'll take your calls and thoughts
about this. I want to know how much they really did it. Is it just a knee-jerk or what?
Well, they don't appear to have actually pulled down the video because I can still access that. So I don't know. Does that mean they're not really that sorry if the video's still on their YouTube channel? More coming up here in moments. You can bring up what you want here. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. The Discord chat server actually is there for you 24/7. You can go to discord.lrn.fm, interact with folks. There's people in there chatting right now. Of course, we also have chat rooms on our DLive and Twitch channels, but those tend to only have people in them when we're live. The Discord server is there around the clock at discord.lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We're talking about the easily offended culture that we're living in here now. People are mad over what they're calling queer baiting. Now, I have to admit, I don't know what the definition of this is, so I'm going to pull up Urban Dictionary here. UrbanDictionary.com, probably the most handy thing. I use Urban Dictionary more than I use Real Dictionary.
Well, that's because some of the stuff that they try to pass off as terms is just crap.
Right, and you have to look it up. Urban Dictionary's got it all. Queer baiting, when a politician, pundit, or other public figure brings up a completely irrelevant detail about a person's sexuality, true or untrue, as a way of subtly channeling homophobia to attack them. I'm not sure how posting an ad. We're talking about Calvin Klein, the fashion designer, posting an advertisement, a video ad, which you just watched, Mark.
So if you used queer baiting in a negative fashion, could you use it in a positive fashion? So, for instance, could Calvin Klein here be by using what is homosexuality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, is that what's going on?
Two girls kissing.
Two girls
One was not real.
Right. So female homosexuality, which I think is...
And some are saying that it was bad because one's not a homosexual. The one that was real is apparently not a homosexual. So, like, oh, people are mad for a few different reasons about this.
Yeah, I think that that anybody who has that opinion doesn't understand what the Kinsey scale is.
Right.
And their opinion stinks.
Absolutely.
However, if you're using homosexuality to sell your clothing, I could see some people would be upset. However, no one listens to anybody who's upset if you're using heterosexuality to sell your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were looking at those those fragrance ads from the 1990s. I am a beautiful man. I am a gorgeous woman. We are running on the beach, right? Like, this was done all the time. I don't know. I'm not paying much attention to Calvin Klein ads these days. You know, I'm much more interested in getting my clothes from Walmart. But, you know, I mean, whatever. And I think it's ridiculous. I mean, you know.
This whole thing's ridiculous. Yeah, and yes, you're right, Mark. There are other definitions here of queer baiting, including when people in the media add homoerotic tension between two characters to attract more liberal and queer viewers with the indication of them not ever getting together for real in the show, book, movie. So yeah, attracting people.
Oh, you're telling me that sometimes somebody uses your sexuality to sell a product? Well, welcome to the real world. Now you are experiencing equality. Shut up.
In a statement published on Twitter on Friday, the clothing brand is.
These are just people that don't like things being sold. Yeah. Remember, we've done stories about.
There's not even anything being sold in this thing. It's just a branding thing.
Yeah,
for
I understand
Calvin Klein.
That, but they're still selling clothes in the process. He's selling his name. But there are people out there that'll take a can of soda if they drank. These people don't drink soda. You know better than that. They'll take their bottle of water, the Dasani bottle of water. They'll rip the label off.
Fiji.
Whatever it is, they'll cover it because they don't want to be right. involved in whatever advertising is, because advertising is bad.
Except when they are proud of the product that they're
sure.
Using,
they, you know, they're not scraping that Apple symbol off of their off their iPhone
or grinding it off or whatever. Yeah, let's go to Sam. He's listening in Virginia to WLNI in Lynchburg on the FM band. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing? And thanks for giving people a voice.
Yeah, no problem.
The Crooked Judge.
Yeah.
The crooked judge that the guy from New Mexico called in about. We here in Nelson County is getting ready. Google Nelson County Sheriff's Department, corruption.
Oh, boy.
Our last sheriff pled guilty to making a porno movie. The top two police officers, porno movie, pled guilty to it.
Where was it shot there. In the actual sheriff's department?
No, it was a political thing. They paid for it on a county credit card and everything.
Oh, boy.
A motel room, prostitute. And it was a political rival that they filmed. Yeah, but
what?
We're getting ready to start Wednesday.
Hold on, wait a minute. Tell me more. Wait. Tell me more about this. So wait, they used hidden cameras to entrap a political rival, or they actually?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
Oh, that's creative.
It is.
Oh, you can find it. They pled guilty to it because they didn't want the investigation because it'll uncover a whole lot more stuff. But
I bet.
A hearing is. To remove our current sheriff and our Commonwealth's attorney is starting Wednesday the 22nd.
Were they both involved in this?
No, but they're covering up a sexual assault by a deputy.
Oh, boy.
By a deputy. They're covering it up.
Oh,
and the woman that he sexually assaulted, she had 5 felony drug charges pending against her. So
oh,
you know
God.
What they did? They dropped the drug charges against her, and she refused to cooperate in the prosecution of his sexual assault upon her. it's just ungodly, the corruption here in Nelson County. Ungodly. Uh-huh. Like I say, the trial starts Wednesday, and they scheduled it for 3:00 in the afternoon, so it won't be nobody else in the room to hear it, you know. Oh, it's going to be a kangaroo court, but I'm ready for them.
Are you going? Are you going to go watch?
Oh, yeah. I'm the plaintiff. I'm the one that has filed the emergency injunction to have them crooks removed from office.
Really?
Thank you for your service.
How are you still breathing? I mean, I can't.
You don't live in that county, do you?
Yeah,
my days are numbered, but I'd rather be dead and in my grave than let these backwoods crooks get it. You ever heard of SLAP? They have targeted me. I'm a malicious SLAP prosecution has been launched against me.
Really?
Strategic litigation against public participation. That's what SLAP stands for.
Wow.
They tried to take everything from me, but they ain't took my will to fight away from me. I'd rather be dead than in my grave and let these backwoods crooks get away with what they're doing.
You know, the Dukes of Hazzard's fiction, right? You're not going to beat these people.
Excuse me?
The Dukes of Hazzard's fiction. You're not going to beat these people, right?
No, I'm not going to beat them. I'm going to beat them in the courtroom.
All right. I hope the very best for you, but I worry for your safety, my friend.
Hey, thank you, and...
Sam, will you give us an update on this? Like, if you're still alive next week, will you...
You keep updating us every week.
I mean, if I live past Wednesday, I'll certainly let y'all know.
Wow. Yeah, this sounds like a detail. Yeah, I wish we could give this more time, but it's right toward the end of the show. I definitely want to know more about this. I want to hear the dirty details, and I realize you've just scratched the surface on this. I'm sure there's a lot more.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how corrupt it is here in this county.
Oh, I'll believe it. See, that's the thing. Everybody thinks their town and their county is the most corrupt. As soon as they uncover corruption and they find out how bad it is, it turns out it's really probably that bad everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
the bugs are crawling around underneath the logs in every town.
You just caught them. This time.
I'm sure it is.
It's because people like you are willing. There's a handful of people out there like you that are willing to take the risks. And otherwise,
because you're going to get
this
targeted.
This would happen in every county.
Yeah, it's true.
I have been. They've took everything from me. I mean, but like I say, I'm not afraid.
Good for you, Sam. And thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us tonight. Appreciate you and appreciate your call. I appreciate anybody like that who's willing to go up against this entrenched bureaucracy of these people who have no accountability, virtually no accountability. I mean, every now and then, when the evidence is so overwhelming, as it may be in this case, as it may have been in the case of the judge that our caller made, you know, the phone call earlier about, when the evidence is so overwhelming, when the government feels like, crap, they really caught us this time. All right, well, we need to hang this one out to dry and make sure they think that we're still legitimate. You know, so they'll hang one or two of them out to dry. They'll catch some corrupt sheriff here and there or corrupt judge here and there. And then the rest of them just keep on fleecing people because the thing that they do normally is corrupt. The taking of your freedom, the taking of your money that you've earned, demanding that you obey them and jump through their hoops. That's a sick thing to do to people. But everybody just looks at it as, well, that's the government. That's what we do.
Right. The difference between the monopoly government that we experience on a day-to-day basis around the globe and that of an organized crime syndicate is vanishingly rare. I mean, like, there's just not much difference.
The difference is they fooled you into thinking they're not an organized crime syndicate. They run the schools. You know?
Yeah.
They've programmed people to believe, oh, well, you're the government. We're the government.
We're the government. Every once in a while, we let you go out and vote. Now, your vote is not meaningful, and it doesn't change anything.
Right.
But you get to do it.
Now you can choose between one warlord and another warlord.
Yep.
Right?
Most back in the day, they would have a very difficult time getting anybody to be the vice president of the United States because basically there's no power and it's where political careers went to die. But the vice president only makes tie-breaking votes in the Senate, right?
I guess.
Yes,
I don't know.
That's correct. That's what you, ladies and gentlemen, have. You have a tie-breaking vote. But with the way that votes work in the U.S. and, well, not around the world, in the U.S. specifically, it's first past the post. So your vote only is going to matter if you're that one vote that separates one liar and liar or thief from another liar or thief.
And how often has that happened?
Rare. On a presidential level, it's never happened.
Out of time for tonight. Back tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime on freetalklive.com. Hope you enjoy your weekend. See you then. freetalklive.com. Some of you asked, and now we've delivered. LRN.FM's live Keene, New Hampshire studio shows are now streamed in HD on Twitch. Visit our channel at twitch.lrn.fm and give it a follow. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free subscription on Twitch. If you use it on our channel, Twitch will give LRN.FM a monthly piece of your Prime subscription cost. So please watch, follow, share, and subscribe to twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.